Ask an Expert segment continues, and welcoming into the studio Senior Lecturer in Plant Science and the College of Engineering, IT and Environment, Dr. Sean Bellairs. Good morning.
Good morning, Mel.
Lovely to have you in. Now it is April Fool's Day. Have you been got?
No, but the story's probably going to seem a bit like that, isn't it?
Well, this is the thing too, because when I got the brief from our good friend Andrew Hall here at CDU, I was like, we're going to be growing rice? This, you know, and I thought, no, I'll run with it and see what happens. But he hasn't. From what I understand, this is no April Fool's joke.
No, so we're really looking at growing sort of high-value native rice in the Northern Territory. And no, it's no April Fool's joke. We've just been very successful as part of a consortium in getting a large amount of federal government money to help us do the research necessary to do that.
Now, I tell you what, if it was an April Fool's joke, it's 10 years in the making. This has been a lot of work.
Yes, we've spent at least 10 years doing research into the native rice. Initially, we were really interested in its ecological value because it helps support all of the magpie geese. They use the grains to get the fantastic growth rates that they get on their little goslings. And so it's really, the native rice is really important for the magpie geese population.
So the native rice has been here for a long time.
Oh, yes. So it's a native species. It's been here on the floodplains sort of ever since the floodplains have existed here. So it sort of spreads across to New Guinea. So, yes, so we're looking at Australian native species. So even the species that at the moment taxonomy is a little bit uncertain, it also is over in Southeast Asia. But then when genetic studies have been done, it's actually quite different in the Northern Territory and in Queensland.
Why have we not been eating it all this time?
Well, I guess it's been under a little bit of a cloud because of the failed sort of rice industry at Fog Dam in the past, which was using commercial varieties of rice. Whereas all the time, the native rice has been growing there, and we collected some off Fog Dam just last year, enough to do some trials with it.
Sean, have you tried it?
Yes, it's got a lovely sort of smoky, nutty taste. It's different to sort of long grain rices. It's a little bit more like a risotto rice. But it tastes beautiful. It's a lovely large grain too. So a lot of native wild foods, the grains are quite small, the fruits are quite small, whereas this one's lovely and large and tasty.
And so what sort of scale are we going to be doing this on? Will we be able to feed the world with our wonderful rice, or?
Well, I'm not sure that we want to sort of feed the world with it. We'd rather have it as a small scale, large value, high value grain, sort of like the Canadian wild rice.
So they're already successfully doing this there?
Yes, so they've developed that over the last sort of 50 years. And it's a wonderful source of First Nations employment over in Canada. A lot of sort of small producers that are producing the grains and then packaging it and selling it. And so we see it as a enterprise that would be a wonderful opportunity for communities with access to the floodplains.
And if we're looking at Fog Dam, is it a collaboration with the owners of that land?
Yes. So Padakal Aboriginal Cultural Tours, they've been collaborating with us for 10 years in getting this research up. So we've been successful with a number of sort of small research grants, and we've done different projects with them. We've developed some packaging for them. They've done marketing trials for us out at Windows on the Wetland. And there's a lot of interest from, you know, tourists passing through to actually get native rice with cultural land connections to the area and the cultural connection, and, you know, really sort of paying much more than the rice in your supermarket.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like a really beautiful collaboration.
Oh, it's been a fantastic collaboration. It's been, you know, really enjoyable. And as well as Padakal, we've also got the Northern Territory Department of Primary Industry and Resources as well. So we just recently went out and had a tour of their wonderful facilities out at Coastal Plains, where we'll be doing some of the small plot trials.
Right.
And we've also got Beatrice Hill Research Station there as well.
Yeah. And so is this an environmentally sustainable sort of process?
That would be absolutely sort of essential for us for it to be environmentally sustainable. So
I don't
really
know a lot about what rice does when you're growing it, what it does to the land or what it does, you know. Does it have a negative?
In this case, we would be growing it on a very small scale and under protected conditions.
Oh.
So that because it's of such high value, we can afford to enclose it in wire mesh, for example, and the growing conditions, because the value of the rice grain, it's worth doing that. So there's not sort of large-scale environmental consequences of doing so. But we would very much, for any wild harvest, for example, we would want to know what the impact on the magpie geese is so that we don't harm them in any way.
That's right, they need it.
Yes,
they're going to feed
absolutely.
Their babies.
Yes.
Is there opportunity, perhaps, when this is successful and wonderful, you know, to export it and to be a great industry for the Northern Territory?
Yes, so we would be seeing the rice is getting exported around the world, and that's a wonderful opportunity of having the Darwin Airport hub here.
Yeah.
We can bring it in from Humpty Doo and have it on a plane very smartly off to Southeast Asia, where it can go into top restaurants as a Northern Territory native wild rice.
Yeah.
And wild rice is just so fascinating and interesting to, for example, there's a Japanese wild rice club.
Is there really?
Yes, and they've come over to the wetlands here and actually carved sculptures of the native rice into rocks near Mount Bundy.
Wow!
So with the permission of the local Aboriginal traditional owners, and yeah.
Isn't that incredible? So, who would have ever thought such a thing? I'm going to pop over and carve some wild rice into some native land in Darwin from Japan.
Yeah, that's right.
Amazing.
And there's a beautiful sculpture in windows on the wetland too of the wild rice grain done by the same person.
That is absolutely incredible. So where are we at now, Sean? What stage are we at?
Well, we've looked at the nutrition of the wild rice.
Is it good for us?
And yes, so the nutritional value, the protein content slightly higher than commercial rice.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, nutritionally it's great. There's also starch properties that seem really interesting, but we haven't done a lot of work on that. But what we've initially looked at seems really great. But we haven't sort of done the agronomic trial. So that's really what this project is going to do, is to get the agronomic sort of techniques worked out so that we can really get it up in the next 10 years as a commercial industry.
It must be very, very exciting for you and your colleagues after working so hard for so long to have it all starting to come to fruition and moving forward so well.
Oh, it's just absolutely fantastic because we've had small grants that have just gone for a couple of years, and this really gives us 10 years of funding to really focus on it in a much larger scale to really overcome those different challenges and so that we can get it up as a commercial industry.
When do you think that we'll be dining on Northern Territory wild rice in our restaurants?
Well, it could be within just a few years.
Wow!
So we need to work out some of the benefit sharing arrangements so that traditional owners of the land get benefit from using the wild rice. So there'll be discussions there. But yes, I would think within a few years we'd have native rice on the table.
It sounds like an absolutely amazing project and we cannot wait to be dining down and I'll be able to say, oh, no. I remember talking to Sean. I can tell you about the rice. I'll take you to the Japanese sculpture. It's very exciting. If people are wanting more information or to connect with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, they can either send me an email or phone me. My email's probably best, Sean, S-E-A-N, BEAIRS@cdu.edu.au.
Head to the website cdu.edu.au, pop in Sean's name and you'll be able to connect with that and follow along with this amazing work. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Wish you all the very best and can't wait to see it pop up on menus.
Thank you very much, Mel.